You don't do that. Good.
God says it wasn't a whale. It was a fish.
It's unlikely to have been a whale, because there are that many whales in the Med. No. Although the Lord could have got one to swim in there, they'd turn up in places.
I think it was a big fish.
It's a large fish, possibly a shark. I mean, sharks have been known to swallow horses, so
that's
I mean,
right.
A brook's no problem at all.
Could have been a big fish.
Anyway, whatever it was a large fish. Yes, large enough to swallow him, yeah, that's the point, yeah. Alright, so we've got to his prayer, back to the first verse of that. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed, right? Now we're just going to ask about a few details, that they are important in a sense. Where did he pray from?
Inside the fish.
Inside the fish, it says. So we assume, well, did he pray before he drowned? Or did he drown at all?
No.
I think he was drowned, I think he was dead.
I think he died.
Yeah.
I do.
You can't pray if you're in the sleep.
You can't pray.
Now, you see, I've been dead 3 days.
I think he was dead and he was resurrected inside the fish and then he prayed. Right. But he prayed as he was... But it doesn't matter in a sense, yeah, but what I'm getting at is he's going to pray inside the fish. But this prayer we have here, he didn't write it inside the fish, we know that for sure, because he didn't take pen and paper down with him. Right? Yeah? So he wrote it later, right? So he's writing up what he did when it was down there, of course. And
well, he must have been conscious then.
He was conscious somewhere along the line.
He
was conscious.
Outside.
If he prayed in the spirit,
we don't know. I'm just surmising what happened now. Imagine, they've just thrown him overboard. They've thrown him overboard. We'll see. He goes into the water, and then he's in the process of struggling. Yeah, for life. He hits the bottom. Because he's got seaweed round his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seaweed grows at the bottom.
That's
I know there are loose bits floating around, but he hits the bottom, the roots of the mountains. Yeah. We'll come to those as well. He hits the bottom, something swallows him.
Yes.
Right? So while he's on his way down, I suspect he said a quick short prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then inside the fish, I assume he's been drowned. He's looked after for several days. Yeah? And then God raises him from the dead. That's my surmise.
Sure.
Yeah. He might have survived and been swallowed by the fish and survived inside the fish. It's a possibility, yeah?
No.
But I think he probably died, yeah? When he's raised from the dead inside the fish, he prays, and the fish gets sick of him. dumps him. Yeah? Okay, so however the prayer came about, it's important. It's important that he did pray. Yeah.
Yes, it
does.
Part of verse 6 where he says, brought my life up from the pit.
Yes, we'll come to that, yes.
Yeah. And also, says in the wheels of the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well, there's different ways of reading it, but yeah, I think he died. The reason, I said this last week, why do I think he died?
In the wheels of the dead.
You can survive sometimes. People have done that, you know. They have. People have been caught in whaling ships. They've been overboard for a while, and they've fished them out literally. They cut open the whale, and out jumps the chap.
I think he was dead because Jesus won't be able to say what he said.
That's my connection. Jesus said, just as Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days, so that he will be in the grave. So the parallel is, he's dead in the fish. I'm dead in the tomb. Both raised from the dead. That's the idea. So, but there are lots of miracles in Jonah, you'll see. So that's just one of them, basically, my understanding. Anyway, Jonah's written down his prayer later, right? It's not so much a prayer, there's a praise song as well. It's interesting how it goes. But verse 1, back to there. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to who?
God.
It doesn't say God.
His God.
His God. The Lord, his God. Notice, he was running away from his God before, but now, when you're in trouble, what do you do? Isn't that interesting? Yes. When trouble comes, God suddenly becomes a bit realer, I think, yeah? So, he prays to his God. He's actually turning back to God here. Right. And then we read this little bit. He's into trouble, and he's talking about the danger, and his faith begins to rise. He says, I'm going to get out of this, effectively. We'll read the story as it goes along. So, verse 1, so, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. from the depths of the grave I called for help, or the depths of Sheol, or whatever it is you want to say. One of the amazing things about this prayer is the number of psalms that Jonah quotes.
I was just saying that, it's just reminding me of psalms.
It all reminds you of psalms. Yeah, we'll see, yeah. We're going to look at it. I hope you don't mind flicking through psalms, you'll be alright here. Lots of psalms. Let's go for verse, let's go to verse 2 then. We've got verse 2, that is verse 2, isn't it? In my distress I called to the Lord, he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. So if you look at Psalm 120, verse 1, 120 verse 1, Psalm 120 verse 1 says, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. Yeah. What do you do when you're in trouble? Call on the Lord. That's what he did. Yes. Yes. And what does God do? Well, that's good as well, isn't it? Yes. Then Psalm 18 verse 6. Psalm 18. Yeah, you need to be in and out of Psalms quite a bit, I'm afraid. Psalm 18 verse 6, which says, in my distress I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help, and his voice, and from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. So God's listening. Yeah. Right. We're going to look at that into his temple, but I'll mention it now.
So that was 18
what? That was 18 verse 6. One of the things that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, that's a long time earlier, he talks about, oh God, you're in heaven, and this building where you said you put your name isn't big enough to hold you, but you said you're going to be found there. If people go wrong and they sin and they turn towards and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven, forgive and answer. That was Solomon's prayer. And that's what Jonah's doing. When he says turn to the temple, I mean, some people, I mean, Islam takes this seriously in the sense you've got to point in the right direction,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
What does it mean to turn to the temple? It means to set your heart on where God is.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's what turning to the temple is.
Yes.
Set your heart where God is,
yes.
And whether he's moved right, left or centre, right. It makes no odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what Jonah's doing. He's turned towards God and he's calling out and God listens. Yes. Yep. Another verse for you. Psalm 18 verse 5. You've not just got rid of Psalm 18, you should have had it for a moment there.
Yeah.
The cords of the grave, or Sheol, coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. So, he thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
I think he did, that's it. But that Sheol is the abode of the dead. It's not just the grave, it's where the dead go. Yeah? Yep, got that idea? So, those are the verses that Jonah is thinking about as he's going down, that's my guess, amongst other things. And he thought of it when he woke up inside the fish as well. Let's go down to verse 3 next then. We've got verse 3 of Jonah. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. So, I can imagine as he's going down, you can see the water from above and the waves and everything else, you know. And he gets, well, we're not there yet, but it says he's gone down into the very heart of the seas.
Yeah.
He was thrown into the deep.
Yeah.
And the deep, the first, one of the early references to that is when Pharaoh and the Egyptians are pursuing the Israelites.
Yeah.
And you read the song of praise when God has delivered Israel. He says, you cast them into the deep. Right, and the idea of the word deep means they've gone there, they're not coming back. Yeah, and that's how he felt. I've gone, I'm a goner. Right, yeah. Psalm 42 verse 7. Is the verse that refers to this as well. We'll come to Psalm 42 verse 7. He knows his psalms, doesn't he, eh?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. You notice what the psalmist is saying is that all your waves and all your breakers. Why does he say that? It's not just that he's talking about the waves, he's saying God sent them. He has that sense that God's dealing with him and just, you know, it's punishing him in a sense, or disciplining him. Yeah. That I'm getting what I deserve, Lord. What's coming here? You know, all these waves and stuff have come over me. Yeah? When God disciplines us, it's not pleasant, is it?
No.
No, and Jonah was finding that out as well. What's the intention of God's discipline?
Put you right.
Put you right. Yes, make you stronger. Put you in the right direction. What has Jonah got to do? He's got to
obey.
He's got to put, well, first of all, he's going to have to repent of what he's done. So this discipline is in order to get him to start thinking straight, really. Where have we got to verse 3? That's that one. Now verse 4. Verse 4, it says, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Oh, how about that? He's going to be cut off. That's Psalm 31, verse 22. Psalm 31, verse 22. Which uses that word to cut off. Keep the Psalms coming. 31, verse 22. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. So he's echoing that psalm, really. I'm cut off, and yet I'm going to trust you, Lord. And he says that in his little verse there. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. I mentioned that. Let's have a look at it. It's in 1 Kings 8, verse 29 and 30. That's Solomon. 1 Kings 8. Hold into Psalms, keep Jonah, and find 1 Kings while you're at it. Lots of fingers needed. Yeah. 1 Kings 8.
Verse 29.
Yes. This is the prayer at the dedication of the temple, yeah? And verse 29, I meant...
Chapter 8, verse 29.
And this is Solomon's prayer to God about the temple. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will always hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Now, I just want to just extend that one moment, right? I mean, that was Mount Zion, the temple's there. Where's the dwelling place of God now?
In us.
It's in us, yeah. But where's the temple that you worship, you pray towards?
Heaven.
Who is it, or what is it?
Yeah.
It's Jesus. Jesus is the dwelling place of God. If you want to know God's blessing, you go through Jesus. Yeah. If you wanted in the days of Jonah and others, if you wanted to know God's blessing, you go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, so the two come together again. Yeah. But at the point in time, it's Jesus you're praying to, right? That's the one who brings God's mercy. Yeah. Well, for them, it was the temple in that time. Yeah. Psalm 5, verse 8. Psalm 5, verse 8, which says... What does it say? Oh, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Is that the one, yeah? In your righteousness, because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. So it's a call for God's deliverance. Yeah. And if you go back to Jonah, he says, verse 5, is it verse 5? 4. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Now, if you were stuck in the bottom of the Mediterranean, inside some who knows what thing, fish as it turns out to be, yeah, would you say, I'm going to Jerusalem, praise the Lord?
No.
How do you say it?
You'd think that was the end, wouldn't you?
You'd think that was the end. So why is he saying that? Because the Psalms are doing something to him. Yeah? What are the Psalms doing to him?
They're lifting him up.
They're beginning to put some more faith back into him. Yeah. He's saying, I'm stuck, I'm in a mess, but God says, if I call out to him, he'll sort it.
Yeah. That's what happened to me in the hospital. When I went in there, I was so down.
Yeah.
And really, really rock bottom. And it took a week for me to realise to put the Psalms on my phone. Reading out,
yeah.
Reading out, and the atmosphere completely changed.
There you go. I've got a reference about that somewhere later on. No, I haven't. Yes, I have. Later on. So we're on to verse 5 now.
Yeah.
So we're going to the bottom now. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Yeah. Like I said, seaweed is the stuff that grows at the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
That was because in the grave they were wrapped around the head, weren't they?
Cause well, I suppose they had a sort of a picture of it, really. Yeah. But he's just on the bottom, basically. That's why I say I think he's drowned.
Yeah, because he said the waters came over me and choked me.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not a very shallow place, the Mediterranean.
No, sorry.
It's all right. The Mediterranean. So when, by the time you got to the bottom, my suggestion would be you've probably gone and died.
Yeah.
Where are we? I've lost my place. Verse five. Psalm 69, verse 1. How about this? Only it's a bit deeper than Psalm 69, verse 1. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Well, got a bit deeper than that, didn't it? In fact, it does in the next verse. I sink into the miry depths where there is no foothold. I've come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. So that's, it's interesting how the Psalms mirror people's experiences.
Everything.
And so, you know, I sometimes use the idea of the Psalms like a keyboard. Mm. You don't know many things about keyboards, do you? But they've got white notes and black notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And they've got deep notes and high notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And life's like that. They've got light notes and dark notes and high notes and low notes. And all of them are in the Psalms. So there's a psalm to fit your situation. That's what I'd say. Jonah found that. The psalms fit your situation.
You know, you said about him being dead.
Yeah.
In mine, I went down to the very roots of the mountain.
Yeah.
Into the land where the gates locked shut forever.
Yeah, yeah. That's verse 6. We just come into that. Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The roots of the mountains is the lowest point. Essentially what he's saying is, went down to there, the earth barred me in forever, so locked in, not getting out, barred me in forever. Verse 6 though, what's the last part of verse 6? That wonderful little word,
you.
But, when God buts, something's going to change, but, you brought my life up from the pit, oh my Lord, my God, or from corruption, Well, Jesus' life didn't see corruption, his body didn't see corruption, but, and I don't think Jonah, well, I don't, what happened to Jonah while he was in there? He got digested a bit. You know, all the juices of the fish's stomach would have affected his skin. Yeah, but that's gonna be an advantage.
Okay.
Yeah? Because he'll look so ugly that when he gets to Nineveh, they'll believe what he says. Anyway, go to verse so it's hit the bottom. I've got two references. Psalm 69 verse 2, which is what we've just read. I sank to the miry depths, and verse 15, which says, do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. So he's asking God to get him out. So God's going to bring him back. Oh, and notice again, verse 6, you brought my life from the pit, O Lord,
my God.
Yeah? What's happening? He's calling on God because he's got a relationship with God. That's how it works, you know. You can call on God and he's a million miles away, but when he's your God, that's different. There's a little story I'll tell you. It's about a young boy, and he was learning the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And the verse he was, the way the teacher told it, says, whenever you get to my, hold your little finger. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. And they were out in the mountains somewhere, and it came down winter time, and the little fellow got lost, and he was found dead. Yeah, the little fellow was found dead. But when they found him, he was lying with his hand on his finger. Right. Now you might say, well, why didn't God answer him? The Lord's my shepherd, wasn't he? Did God answer him?
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? God didn't always do it the way... I saw a cartoon, it says, God always answers your prayer, but not always in the way you want them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for this little fella, yeah, his life was short, but eternity is a long time. Mm-hmm. And if he's my God, it's the right kind of eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there you are. That's the Jonah's doing that. He's holding on to my God. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Suffering.
Yeah. They call it suffering. Yeah, that's all right. Verse 7, we got to 7 here.
Yeah.
This is his last prayer. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. It's that Solomon thing again, calling on God, isn't it, yeah? So while my life's going away, so maybe while he was just about dying, yeah, he then calls out to God. Best to call out to God while you're alive. A bit late when you're dead. Right, so, and he says, your prayer rose to the temple, right? Verse 8, last little bit of this. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What's he on about there? Strange way of putting it, yeah?
Is he talking about the place he's going to?
Not no, really, no.
No, he's abandoned
God. Yeah, Jonah is actually, it's a sort of a strange way of thinking, but he's saying is, I've got you, Lord, yeah. So I'm going to hope. Yeah. Those that haven't got you, yeah, if they cling to worthless idols, idols can't help you.
Yeah. No.
Don't have a God that you've got to carry.
Yeah.
You really need a God that can carry you. Yeah. Right? Okay. Worthless idols do you no good. He says, and if they cling to those, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
Yeah.
Now, the use of the word grace there, I think, is really talking about God himself.
Yeah.
Those that have worthless idols haven't got the real God, who's a gracious God.
Yeah.
And he could be yours if you hold to him.
But also, mine it said, abandoned their loyalty to you because
yeah.
They haven't
got God, so they... Yeah. No, yeah, yeah.
No.
So that's what I think that verse is getting at.
Yeah.
He's really saying is, yeah, Lord, I'm not trusting in the rubbish, I'm trusting in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Not the worthless idols, I'm trusting in you. And there's going to be grace somewhere in that way, yeah? Verse 9, but I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Yeah? Now, listen to that, yeah? I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. How do you think he feels at that point?
It's in God's hands.
Yes? He's praising God.
Yeah.
He's praising God.
Yeah.
I think that's what made the fish sick.
Yeah.
The thing is, by the religion, I had to sacrifice something.
Yes, well, yes.
But he's going into the future, isn't he?
He's talking of the future. He's talking with confidence
sacrifice
about the future.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also believes you'll get out.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I with the song of thanksgiving will sacrifice. There's lots of wills in this little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I will sacrifice you. I'm going to make my offering.
Yeah.
And what I have vowed, I will make good. What do you think his vow was? I'll do it, Lord.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? He's repented.
Yeah.
He's changed his mind because he thought before, I ain't doing this, Lord. I'm not going. But when he's now got around to it, God's got him, I'll do it.
So when I have said, I'll do it, that means he's repented. Is that what
yes.
He's
yes. Yes. Yes, because God had said to him, do it, and he says, no.
Oh. Yeah.
To change your mind, says, yes.
Yeah.
So repentance means you've turned around.
I have promised salvation comes from the Lord.
Yeah, well, that's a separate sentence, yeah? We'll get to that in a minute, yeah? Okay, I'm going to take you now to Psalm 42, verse 5. Because this, really, this is Jonah's last prayer, really, in that little bit there. And maybe you've read this psalm before, yeah? There's a... Psalm 42 verse 5. Have you heard this one? It's the chorus to the psalm. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. See, this man in the Psalms, which is what Jonah's experience was, he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, he is downcast.
Yeah,
things have got on top of him. He's messed up. And it's all gone wrong. But what's he doing? He's talking to himself in a way.
Yeah,
not stupid talking. He's giving himself a telling off.
Yeah.
What are you down for?
Yeah.
You've got God. Get up!
Yes.
Is what he's saying, eh?
But you said he was dead, so he can't be thinking.
Oh, he's come to life now. When he's praying now. You don't pray when you're dead. You're praying when you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's come to life. Yeah, we're back to life now.
This is before he was spat out.
Before he was spat out. Yes,
so
yes.
He's had a death right. And
yeah, he's come to life. Yeah, he's praising the Lord. And I would like to suggest the fact that he's come back is a promise that he's going to get out.
Yeah.
But he says this: "Why are you downcast on my soul? Why are you so troubled within me, disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that will thing coming through again, yeah?
Yes.
And then Psalm 50, verse 14. 50, verse 14. What does that tell us? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High.
Yeah.
Thank offerings. Well, in those days, they offered animals. But thank offerings today, you don't need animals.
No.
Yeah, you just need a good heart full of Jesus, and you do the thanking. Yeah,
well,
okay.
They
couldn't offer it. No. Psalm 50, verse 14. 1 Paul. Psalm 15, verse 14. Did I get the right?
No, you said 40.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, I knew what I meant. Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High. And Jonah says, Lord, I'll bring sacrifices of thanksgiving and I'll fulfill my vows. Right. Now, here's something that I think is really good, and it's important to grasp this. How many people say, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And when you're out of this mess, don't call me, I'll call you.
Yeah.
Well, that's not Jonah.
No.
No?
When you say that, is that like, say, I've actually done that, it's breaking an oath.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yes. And Jonah means what he says.
Yeah.
And that's why I know that's true, is because Jonah's repented.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you change your heart, and you're moving in the right direction, you'll do it.
Yeah.
So I'll do it, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, is what he gets at. So then, last little bit of this. Oh, right, no, let's.
See.
God's going to get him out.
Yeah.
Why? How can he know? Because this is assurance. He knows he's getting out. How does he know he's going to get out? It's in the spirit. God's giving him the assurance. He's getting him out.
Yeah.
And why is God speaking hope to him? It's because he's repented.
Yeah.
Yeah, communications are open. God, if you're disobeying God, God says, not talking. Wait till you turn around. I'll fix you. I'll get you turning around. When you turn around, now we're talking. Yeah, and so God encourages him. He's going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what happens is, verse 10, what I vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's the key verse in the book of Jonah. Where does salvation come from?
God.
It's not the fishermen, it's not the sea, it's not the fish, it's God that got him out. Yeah. And God's the same for all our sticky situations. Salvation comes from God. Just remember that. Yeah. If you think you've saved yourself and you're so clever and so smart, think again.
Right.
Salvation comes from the Lord. We're not that smart, are we?
No.
No. Right. And so in verse 10, we've come to this amazing little verse. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Yes. God commanded the fish. But, Francis, did you know fishes can hear?
Yes.
If you watch the program,
Well, did God say to the fish, right, go and dump him? No, God didn't speak to the fish in that sense, but God made the command, and the fish did what it was told. Because everything has to do with what God tells it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this is, yes, God spoke to the fish, and it brought him back. When some fish are dying, they empty the contents of their stomach.
Some people do.
Well, there you go. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Probably like that at dinner time. Suitable thought. Yeah. But whatever the reason, God commanded the fish. And what's the miracle in God commanding this fish?
The question again?
What's the miracle that happens when God commands this fish?
Well, it listens.
It listens? That's one miracle.
Yes.
It did what it was told.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's another miracle. And it doesn't tell you exactly, but I guarantee what it is. Let me ask you the question. Where did the fish dump him?
On dry land.
On dry land. Yeah. Two miracles. Yeah. Because if he died at sea, he's in the water again.
Yeah.
right, that's not good. So he dumped him on the beach, right, and then the third miracle is, which beach did he dump him on?
Where he should have been.
Just where he started from. Square one. Square one. Yes. So, the fish dumped him. The fish dumped him on the land. And the fish dumped him on the bit of land where he just started from. Now, let that be a lesson to you, brothers and sisters. If you start running away from God, you'll get back to where you started from, and then you'll be on track again. Mm. Yeah. There's a verse in Song of Songs. It says, I've lost my beloved. Where can I find him? Yeah. And the question, the answer is, where did you lose him?
Yeah.
Go back to there. That's where he'll be.
Yeah.
So Jonah is back to square one. I've just got some thoughts here for you.
What do you say? I'll put you on square one. Start again now.
Start again. Yeah. Yes. And I'll just read chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Yeah. Start again. Good news is, God didn't give up on him after square one, after the first time. Yeah. And if you think about it, if God had given up on me after the first attempt, oh dear, I wouldn't be here today, I can assure you that. Let me just give you some thoughts. Here's some thoughts for you, yeah? Number one, the place of scriptures in the life and needs of this dear man, especially the Psalms, are really important. Yeah. The Bible has its place in his heart, so that in times of emergency, they're there. Yeah. How did he know them off by heart? He's quoting Psalms. He must have known them off by heart. He learned them. And do you know how you learn? By reading them, studying them, and trying to memorize. It's work. I'm sorry about this, friend. Did you know Bible study can be work?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's profitable work, especially when you've got the Psalms there for you when you need them. Don't know. The point being is, Isaiah ministered during the time of the broken kingdom, the north had gone. During Isaiah's time, during time of Hezekiah, it split. But Jonah goes from the northern kingdom to minister to Babylon, to Nineveh. Well, yeah. No, Nineveh's north. Yes, yeah, not north of him, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, it was during the time of Jeroboam II, if you read in 1 Kings, one of the king's references to Jonah. I mentioned it last week. He was a prophet to the king. He said things would go well for the king.
Yeah.
And they did, but the king didn't repent.
No.
So that was a bit of a downer for him. He tells the king to do something, and it didn't happen. And so when God tells him to go and tell these non-believers, I think he's thinking, they might listen. I'm not going. we've got the place of scriptures in the life of a person, yeah? The only way that scriptures will do you good is to read them and memorize them, yeah? And I just want to take you to a verse that tells me that. It's in Romans 15. Get this verse, please. We're going to memorize this verse. Romans 15, verse 4. Yeah, Romans 15, verse 4. You got it?
Yes.
Get it? This verse you must learn. You must learn this verse.
I can't remember.
You can't remember. Well, you got it. The only way to do is keep repeating it, I'm afraid.
I do.
Yeah, no. Well, it eventually sticks, but it takes a long time. Yeah. Try this anyway. Let me read it to you in the NIV 1984 version. It says this: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. You got that?
Yes.
Go on, say it. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Right? So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. That through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You got it?
Yeah.
Endurance, we will have eventually, yes, yeah? Endurance, you're going to have to face it, stick it out, keep going, but the Bible will get you through. Encouragement of the scriptures.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
You sure now?
Yeah.
Right, one more to go.
One more.
No, two more to go.
Okay.
Yes. Number two, or six, number four this is, repentance plus faith produces hope. Yeah? That's Jonah. Repentance plus faith will produce hope.
Yeah?
Because God doesn't want to damage, destroy or harm. He wants to improve and bless. And he can only do that when you repent and trust him, then there's hope.
Repentance and faith.
Yes, repentance and faith produces hope. And lastly, God is a prayer hearing God. And how do I know that? Because he heard Jonah. He answered Jonah's prayer. And, let's say this, God isn't only a prayer hearing God. He can hear your prayers, whether you utter them out loud or not. He can hear the prayer of your heart. And God's a prayer hearing God who hears your prayers, whether you utter them out loud or quiet, anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, at the bottom of the Med is not the usual place to have a prayer meeting. But God heard him, right? And so as a result of that, Jonah came out. You got it? So, we're going to go to Nineveh next time. You're going to do it now. Obedience. We might manage chapter 3 and 4 next time. We'll have to see, won't we? But I've just come back to that Psalms. But if you don't read much of your Bible, try and read Psalms. As I say, it's got the black notes, the white notes, the top notes and the bottom notes. There's something in there that will fit you. Let's pray. We've got to pray. Father, thank you for rescuing Jonah, Lord, for disciplining him really, Lord, to get him to turn his life around, to do the things you wanted him to be and to do. Lord, we know that we can be very stubborn people ourselves, Lord, and we need your persevering grace in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's always hope with you when we turn back. And Lord, your word offers so many encouragements and promises. Lord, help us to believe and to trust and see you do what you alone can do. Salvation is from God. And we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.